Welcome to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. This is where your repentance starts. This is where revival begins. And who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. Yeah, I know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the underground. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 4 and 5. It says, again and again, the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or even paid attention. Each time his message was this: repent from the evil road you are traveling on and from the evil things you are doing. Ezekiel 18, 31 and 32, it says, repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of America, H-Town, Mo City, South Park, Southwest, Third Ward, Acres Home, Sunnyside, Horn Clark? I don't want you to die, says the Sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, in the same way I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, do you ignore the fact that the purpose of God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? In Revelations chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, remember then what you receive and heard. Keep it and repent. Because if you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come against you. That's Jesus talking. Micah chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, attention. Let all the people of the world listen. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. Let the earth and everything in it hear it. The Sovereign Lord is making an accusation against you. The Lord speak from his holy temple. Look, the kingdom of heaven is coming. Why did I say all those verses? I was just trying to lay the foundation to let you understand that I'm not preaching anything new. I'm preaching the same message that they've been preaching since the beginning of time. When God sends a preacher, when God sends a message, you guarantee it's going to be called repentance. He's wanting his people to turn from their evil ways. Turn and come back to God. That's the same message we preach here at the underground. Repentance. God is calling his chosen people back to him. And you want to be able to hear the voice of God. See, the reason why so many people can't hear the voice of God is because the volume of sin is so high in your life. If you turn down a sin, you'll be able to hear the voice of God. That's why we must repent. The volume of self is so high in your life. The volume of riches is so turned up in your life. The volume to be heard is so high in your life that you can't hear the voice that says, repent and come back to God. But anyways, that was just us laying the foundation for what we're going to build on tonight. You understand? Now, what we have been doing in the past couple of weeks, we have been doing a volume sessions called Jesus Be Lifted Up. And this is going to be volume 4. And what we've been doing is just been going over some words that Jesus said, because in the spirit that we are up under, which is the Antichrist, it is trying to silence the voice of Jesus. And so what we got to start doing, especially as believers, if that's what you call yourself, I don't know if you believers tonight, but if you're not, just go ahead and come in and listen to the word. I know some of us say, well, I'm spiritual, I'm not religion. I don't know what that means, but okay, you can come in here too. Some of us just, we have a relationship with God. Oh, that's cool. You come on up in here too. But in the word of God, in order to even come to God, one must repent and turn to Jesus. And I know we try to create all these other ways in order to get to God, but what did he say? What is the instructions of God? What did the boss say? And that's where we come to lift up. We come to lift up the name of Jesus. Every once in a while, I always want to encourage my people. Just say that name every once in a while. Just Jesus. You know what it does? It just rattle things. It just shake things up. It keeps that Antichrist spirit up out of you. See, some of y'all been spraying on the Antichrist perfume. Because you want to smell like everybody. You want to fit in with everybody. So there's this cheap perfume called Antichrist that we're trying to buy and trying to make it look like it's Christianity. But it's not. No. See, the perfume that we wear is called the cross. And that perfume and that cologne, oh, it's expensive, my people. And you will have to pay for it. So go ahead and put that little cheap perfume of Antichrist up because it don't last long. You know, you ever get some perfume or cologne? Let's go ahead and take it to the flesh. You ever get that? And you spray it on you, and that smell, it don't last long. It wear off quickly. It wear off quickly. So what I'm trying to tell you, unless you pick up your cross, your faith gonna be wearing off very quickly. People not gonna be able to smell it. You're not gonna be able to smell it when they go. When you go to school, people not gonna be able to smell it because you got that cheap perfume on of the Antichrist. It wears off in the fourth hour of the day. You started off good in the morning. From 8 to 12, you was good, wasn't cussing, wasn't doing too much sinning. You was good, but it started wearing off as the days be, as the days goes on. So somebody say it wears off. It wears off. But I'm here to encourage you. Pick up that cross of yours. Pick up that cross of yours. That cross has been sitting by your bed. You step over it every morning. Some of us step over the cross and pick up our phone ASAP. Yeah, you step right over the cross in the morning and pick up your phone. I'm here to encourage you. Pick it up. God has a mission for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. I always want to encourage. Do you know there's a people group waiting on you? Do you understand that there's lost souls that are waiting on you? There's people you need to encourage. There's people you need to pick up. There's people you need to reach. There's people you need to teach. You have a special purpose. Again, when people come to the underground, when God gives them the liberty to come listen to this beautiful word, I understand who I'm talking to. I'm talking to leaders of our next generation. You guys are leaders. And you're going to have to start to embody that. Stop being a follower. Stop talking like a follower. You ain't no follower. You're supposed to be separated. You are set apart. You set apart. Go ahead and start accepting that. All right.
Let me talk to the man real quick. Let me give you some encouraging words, and I'm gonna give the woman some encouraging words. And then what we gonna do is we gonna go to John chapter 8. We in master class. This is a master class, by the way. So we get into the word. I'm not finna just come and give you a ABC 1 2 3 after school program word. I'm not doing that. If you wanna do that, go to your little dad program. We come to get into this word. We need some food. We need some meat to sustain us. Okay? We need some meat. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for the man. Let me holler at you real quick. Let me talk to you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, M-A-N, M-A-N, I want y'all to know, God still created the man. That's still a very important role in our society. The man. All right. No matter what society try to tell you, the man is very important to the kingdom of God. But what did he do when he became a man? He say, I put away childish things behind me. I want to encourage the man today. It is time to start talking like a man. It is start time to acting like a man, reasoning like a man. And we putting away childish gambito things, childish conversations, childish things that get us entangled with the world. Why? Because I'm a man now. And when God created the man in Genesis, he looked at it and said it was good. So I want you to get back to what God has called you to be. Just a man. Yeah. I'm not here to be nobody's best friend. I'm not a best friend. I'm a man. I'm not a buddy. I'm a man. I'm not a booty call. I'm a man. I'm not a flirt. I'm a man. I have a purpose. I have rule. I have dominion over things. So I don't have time for those childish things. I don't have time for those childish conversations. Oh, well, he don't never have fun. It's not that I don't have fun. It's just the things that you call fun is childish to me. And it, when God called me to be a man, because that's the only thing that can get you into your manhood is God. Money don't get you into your manhood. Getting a degree don't get you into your manhood. Laying down with all type of women don't make you a man. God calls you into that role. And when God is calling you to step up to be a man, it's time for you. He's going to put it back on you to put away some childish things. What are those childish things? Well, you know what they are. The Holy Spirit is talking to you about it right now. And you have to be very direct when you're putting away childish things. You can't be childish with putting away childish things. See, but some of us be want to take all day to put away childish things. I remember when I was young, my mama, she would come in the room and tell me, boy, put that game up and get ready for school. And I sneak in a couple of more minutes, or I sneak in a couple of more hours of the game until she got to come back in there and set shop again. Boy, what'd I say? I said, put that game up. Nobody playing with you. See, what I'm here to tell you, God is telling y'all to put up some childish things. But you don't want him to come back a second time. Nah. You know, mamas are very, you know, compassionate on us. But I want you to know, when daddy come back around and he done told you to put them childish things away and you still haven't picked them up. Yeah. Yeah, I know what will happen. So I just want to encourage you, brothers. Man, put away them childish things. Put away them toys you've been playing with. Yeah, put away all that and go ahead and become a man. What's a man? The truth. Yeah, put away them childish lies. What you lying for? You don't got to lie. A great songwriter once told us, just be a man about it. Just be a man about it. What you lying for? These little things that we've been caught up in, these little situations that we've been caught up in because we learned this from our daddies and we learned this from our uncles. God say, put away that childish generation and step into the new, my brother. To my brothers that's listening in the prison, God is saying, I'll sit you in there because I want you to learn to put away childish things. So when you get out and get your liberty back in society, he says, I want you to become a man for your community. I want you to become a man for your family. I want you to become a man for your nation. Do you understand me, my brothers? Now, let me go ahead and encourage the women real quick. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the wisest of women builds her house, but foolishness with her own hands tear it down. Do you know the type of power that you have with your words alone that can build a palace? You have the type of power that you can speak what you want into your husband. Do you understand that? Do you understand what your mouth can do to a generation? Do you understand what your mouth can do to a culture? Do you understand what your mouth can do to a nation of people? Your mouth alone can build up or it can tear down. So I want you to start being accountable and also being aware of the type of power that you have when you pray. The type of power that you have when you speak to anybody. You have the type of power to influence a nation. You have the type of power to raise up kings, and you have the type of power to tear them down. You must be aware of that. You must be aware of that. And you must treat that type of power very, very holy and set apart. You know, when they talk about the nuclear weapons and all those type of things, and, you know, people are very terrified and fearful of that type of destruction and power being in the hands of probably one man or one woman, because that type of power can set off World War III, so they say. It can cause so much destruction if someone gives the direction to let off a nuclear weapon. I liken that unto your mouth, my women. Your mouth can set off World War III in your home as we speak right now. Your mouth. Or your mouth can bring you into a destiny that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what God has planned for those who love him. Your mouth can do that. That's the power that you got. How do you know? Hey, we have so many proverbs that we can watch and see in front of our eyes every day to see what the woman words do. So I just want to encourage you to start using them wisely, You know what I mean? You know, sometimes we grow up in certain homes where, because of the stress and because the man sometimes not taking charge of the home, you know, mamas then said some crazy things to their kids. You know, mama then said some things, they called you some things, and truth be told, I'm telling you, those words probably still affected you to this day. And she didn't mean it. I know she, you know, mama just didn't mean it. You know, they was just under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. They had a lot of weight on their shoulders. So mamas then called some sons ugly back in the day.
Nappy head, little, you know, and those things, I'm trying to tell you, we think they don't, but they affect that little boy. They may affect that young woman when they spoke those words for years. For years. I've seen situations, parents then died, but kids are still dealing with the effect of what their parents said to them, especially mama. So I just want to encourage y'all to use those words wisely. Yeah, if you go put lip gloss on and lip balm on, make sure some generous words come out your mouth then. What good is if you trying to make your lips look all shiny and pretty, but nothing but destruction come out of my sister? You might as well make your lips look chapped. But anyways, getting back to this word that we never left. John chapter 8. Let's go to John chapter 8. Y'all having a good time? Y'all chilling? Okay, good. Can y'all give me a thumbs up? Take your nutty professor finger and give me a thumbs up if you hear me good. Take your big Shirley finger if you hear me good. Give me a thumbs up. Somebody, give me a thumbs up. Okay. Y'all hear me good? Okay. Just trying to make sure. Shout out to all the leaders up in here, which is everybody. I appreciate y'all being here again. You know, you man, I'm just so happy that y'all here. Because if y'all weren't here, man, you know, y'all encouraged me to keep walking this walk because man, I got to speak to some people this week. You know, so dear God, let me go ahead and just talk. We just thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy, dear God. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you that we can see still. Thank you we can talk still. We able to walk. We able to chew. You know, we don't got COVID. We don't got no diseases. You know, God, your mercy just freed us from all type of unseen things, God. Some of us used to drive drunk and you just saved us. Some of us just used to sleep around and do all type of just perversion type things, but you saved us, God. So if we haven't thanked you for that, and we over here complaining about some little things compared to what you're doing in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts, in our future, we just want to say thank you, God, to all the drug dealers out there, all the prostitutes out there, all the crackheads out there, all the robbers out there, all the killers out there, everybody who right now you getting ready to go rob somebody. Right now you ready to go steal somebody. I just want to tell you, you better fall on your knees and thank God for his mercy. I'm speaking in the future now because when it comes to the underground, it's going to be people hearing this in the future. So I'm just speaking into existence. To those who just got locked up, you facing 20 and 30 and 40 years, you better still thank God that you're here and that you're able, you have the opportunity to repent. That's why we're able to wake up, you know? We able to get it right with God. I get to them bills later. You know, I get to that little text, that 4-page letter that I got last night later. You know, some of y'all be waking up to them old 4-page text messages because you didn't done something wrong. You know, I get to that later. Let me just thank him first. You know, I'll make her bottle later. I'll make his bottle later. Let me thank God first. Everybody, kids be quiet. The dog be quiet. Cat, you be quiet. Let me get to God first and just thank him. I woke up this morning. Oh my God, man. You know, that's some people, y'all, they didn't wake up. They didn't wake up. And if they didn't make their decisions to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as scripture teaches, there's a place with gnashing of the teeth, which I don't even want to know what that means. But they gonna be in hell for eternity. You know? And so God, in his infamous mercy, he decided to give us another chance. And so I just thankful for it, God. And I just want to let you know, God, I love you. I appreciate everything you do for me and my family. I appreciate that you allow us to hear your word. You give us the mind to hear your word, God, because there's been seasons in my life that I was rejecting your word because I was so entangled with sin, God. And you could have gave up on me during that time, dear God. But I'm here to say thank you, God, for not giving up on me. For years, I ran away from you, God. For years, I ignored your word, God. For years, I treated your mercy like nothing. But I want to say, I just thank you, God, for not giving up on me and allowing me to preach your word. Oh, man. You know, I'm about to ride out with you, God. Yeah, I'm riding with you now, God. Yeah. Ain't nobody finna turn me from you. Ah, nah. So anyways, in Jesus' name we pray. Touch somebody and say, God, don't let me die like this. Yeah, don't let me die with all this purpose in me. Yeah, don't let me die with all this miracles in me. Don't let me die with this healing power in me, God. Don't let me die like this. Let me see what I've been seeing in dreams. Let me see what I've been seeing in vision. I want to walk that out, God. I'll walk it out. See, some of y'all used to walk it out real good, but when it comes to this faith, I'm going to need you to do that same thing. I'll walk it out. Yeah, I'm going to need you to do that same thing. Don't come into the kingdom and start turning down. Turn down for what? John chapter 8. So we come to a situation where there was a woman who got caught in adultery. Jesus came to the temple and there were some haters who decided to bring this woman who got caught in adultery. Let's check it out. Let's just see if we can see ourselves in these particular scriptures. Hey, put your life on cruise control real quick and ride with me through these scriptures. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. That's verse 1. Verse 2 says, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. Can we talk about that? Early. Early in thy morning will I seek you. You know, the early bird gets the worm. I tell that to my wife all the time. First of all, shout out to my wife. The realest to ever do it. Yeah, the realest to ever do it. I appreciate everything that you do. But early in thy morning will I seek you. That's what I'm trying to get you guys to understand. When God wake your Boston baked bean head up in the morning and he gets you up around 1 and 2 o'clock, don't you roll back over and start slobbing on that pillow. You better get up and start giving him praise and praying. Face that house if you got to. I had to learn that. Because God used to be waking me up at 1 and 2. I'd be like, God, wait, what you doing? I got to get up in a couple of more hours. Let me go back to sleep. But he kept me up. Let me tell you why. He's trying to get you to learn how to pace and walk and pray in these hours. He's trying to get you to watch with me. Some of y'all need to watch with God during those hours. Early in thy morning. See, that's why some of us believers, it's important. That's why we don't need to be out in them streets like we used to be in them streets like that. Because why? God may get you up early in the morning. And it's going to be hard for you to get up early in the morning if you got a hangover. It's going to be hard for you to get up early in the morning if you just smoked the blunt before you went to sleep. You know them blunts be making you sleepy, tired. So how you go get up early in the morning and seek God? I'm talking to the streets now. I'm talking to the culture now. That's why we got to put away these things. Because your new lifestyle is going to take discipline, my brother. Your new lifestyle is going to take discipline, my sister. That beautiful vision God has given you, do you think it's going to come without not being disciplined? Not having a prayer life? Not having a fasting life? No. So that is why it's important for you. Man, first thing you want to do when you get up in the morning, man, get that prayer in your life. Surround your atmosphere with the Spirit of God. If you're a believer right now, and the first thing you do when you get up is rolling up and, you know, checking certain things, hey, I want to encourage you up out of that lifestyle and go ahead and try to get this thing with God going in the morning. Now take your time, because you know I'm not here to tell you do for hours and hours. No, I'm not telling you to do that, but can you give him 10 minutes right now? Give him 5 minutes. Because it's small beginnings, and some of us got to take baby steps. But let's start giving him the first fruit of our morning. The first fruit of our morning. Cain and Abel will tell us about that, right? If you want a story about bringing the first fruits to God, your boy Cain and Abel will tell you about that. Anyways, let's keep moving through this word. Hey, it says, as he was speaking, he said he was back at the temple again. A crowd soon gathered and sat down, and he taught them. See, when Jesus, he had such an aura that when Jesus had stepped on the scene, there was always a crowd that surrounded him. There was people who wanted just to be around him. And as I'm speaking to these leaders today in the underground, you have that type of mindset. You have that type of aura around you. When you step into a room or when you go to work, that begins to be a crowd around you. I want you to always understand that is the anointing of God on your life. Don't get me wrong. You cute. You fly. That's cool. We see you. Okay. But the crowd that's surrounding you like that, or the followers that you get, or people always want to hang out with you, do lunch with you, do dinner with you, call your phone. It is because the anointing that is on your life. And you never want to start perverting that anointing. What do you mean by that, my brother? Okay, that anointing, some of us may use it to start using what we got to get what we want. Players club. And God said, now you perverting my anointing. Now you are perverting my anointing. You're prostituting my anointing. So never start to get, you know, have this mindset of, ooh, they love me. I'm it. I'm doing me. Okay. They're around you because the anointing God. Do you understand how crusty some of us would be? I'm going to just say to tell you myself. Do you understand how crusty I would be if God took his anointing off my life? You know, see, my wife sees me as handsome and all that, but it's the anointing of God. Because when you get up in the morning and you really look at yourself, I'm talking about me, I'll be like, ugh. You ever get up in the morning and just be like, ugh. Why my nose like that? But because of the anointing of God, my wife sees me and be like, ooh, you handsome. So somebody say that's the anointing. Yeah, the anointing makes your haircut look a certain way. The anointing makes your walk look a certain way. The anointing see, let me tell you about this anointing. People, there's some people who can have the exact same outfit that you got from Shein, but because the anointing is on your life, it just looks better on you. Mm-hmm. It just looks more flyer on you. Yeah, you got the same shirt from Amazon on Prime special delivery, but when you wear it, everybody like, oh, I like the way that shirt look on you. It's the anointing. It ain't because you in the gym like that, because one injury will get you up out of that gym. Mm-hmm. No, it's the anointing of God that's on your life. It's the anointing of God that's on your speech. You ain't too deep, you know, because see, when you speak, everybody be like, ooh, that's deep. Man, you be speaking. You never want to think that it's you. Because it's people out there saying the same thing as you, but the anointing affects and breaks the yokes. So it hits different. Yes, it hits different when you do it. It hits different when you say it. It hits different, guess what? When you live it. Oh, it's a different feeling, my brothers and sisters. So I always just want to encourage my leaders in here, because the ministry, because I speak to everybody in here on a personal level and I check on these brothers and sisters in here. Man, the anointing that's on your life, I've seen it firsthand. That's going to be the test to, as God begins to increase you, you decrease. As God begins to bring that crowd around you, you point them to Jesus and not point you to your Facebook page. You follow what I'm saying? Don't point them to you, because that's it's easy to, and it's such a very tricky line to walk, because it's in our nature to want to receive that glory. It's in our nature to want to stun a little bit, to somebody and say, stun a little bit. Yeah, I want to show everybody I've been working out. I want to show everybody I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I want the gram to know. Yeah, we want to show everybody. I get it. But that's going to be your test, my beautiful leaders, to decrease as God increase you. Let me keep moving through this word that I never love. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in the front of the crowd. Man, I done read this scripture so many times in my life, but this time, guess what? It hit different. I've never been caught like that and brought in the front of everybody. Now, I would say in my past, you know what I mean, when I did have to stand in front of the church and step down from a certain position, but this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Ooh. Think with me for a second. You know, take your self-righteous hat off for a little bit, okay? Can you imagine all the unrighteous things you have done and it's being brought into the front of the crowd? Can you imagine that? It's being brought in front of all the church people you're going to church with right now. Can you imagine those little sneaky sins that you got entangled with here and there? Tell somebody say here and there that it comes out this Sunday at church. Can you imagine that? That's what happened to this lady. It finally caught up with her. Yeah, somebody finally caught her in the act. See, because, you know, sin only lasts for a season. But the devil, dude, he has a very anointing way of making things look so good. So good. He's that commercial. Me and my wife fell for it this week when we went to Olive Garden. But they play these commercials and they make it look so good. So enticing. They be having the sauce dripping from the noodles and the shrimp. They look all good and it look hot and the bread look all toasty and it bites you and it hooks you in. And I'm here to tell you, some of you leaders, you got to watch out for those enticing things that's trying to come into your life. Them enticing lips, them enticing chests and legs and thighs and money and houses and cars, those things that the devil try to entice you with. Because I don't want you to get caught in the act. See, all of us are this woman who's been caught. We may not have been caught with human eyes, but as the scripture says, everything is naked before God. Do you hear me? Everything is bare and naked before God. He sees it all. He sees it all. So I don't want us to become these religious Pharisees who think, oh, let me bring your stuff to the front, but keep my stuff at the back. I think this sin is more bigger than my sin. That religiosity spirit that people got going on in the church. We want to make sure we keep that up out of us, right? Okay, the scripture keeps going on. It says, Teacher, teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Yes, man, man, the law. Our life's against the law of God. Man, we have no chance, y'all. We have no chance, my. That's why we lift up the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to be super spiritual when I talk about Jesus before you. You ain't even that important for me to try to be religious or be self-righteous in front of you. I'm lifting up the name of Jesus because it was the life that he laid down and the price that he paid for me that I'm able to come before God boldly. There's some acts, I'm putting myself out there now, that I did in my life that I deserve to be stoned. Period. But when the stones was ready to get thrown at me, when the people had the rocks ready to kill me, Jesus stepped in my life, y'all. The evidence was true. I ain't gonna be that type of person to be like, man, hey, they lying on me. They weren't lying on me. Tell somebody say they weren't lying on me. It was all true. Yeah, it was all true. I'm gonna go ahead. It was all true. It was all true. And I'm not here to argue that. I'm here to let you know when they had the evidence ready to stone me, when I was caught in the act of all the sinful things that I have done against God, God stepped in. Jesus stepped in, y'all. And what'd he do? Just like he did with this woman, man. I'm so, oh my God. When I read this, I say, man, thank you, God, for stepping in. Thank you, God, for and he stepped in at the right time in my life, too, y'all. He stepped in at the right time in my life. That's why we got to thank. Has God stepped in at the right time in your life? Was you about to, I mean, really be a prodigal? Was that you? Yeah. Was you really about to turn up? Was you really about to just let go of God's blessing and let go of God's purpose for your life? But he just stepped in at the right time. He just spoke a word at the right time. He just whispered in your ear at the right time. That's me. That's why I come to lift up the name of Jesus. Can't no, what? Church couldn't do that for me. Positive thinking couldn't do that for me. Me being in a choir couldn't do that for me. Me playing the drums and preaching here and preaching there and doing little TikTok videos and Instagram reels and doing that and doing these little ministry can't even do that for me. Jesus personally had to step in and say, oh, hold up. For y'all throw that stones at my boy. Yeah, I know he been caught in the act. And he can't even deny it. She can't even deny it. This adulterous lady couldn't deny this, man. Nah, she couldn't deny it. And when it says she was caught in the act of adultery, understand this. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't just a one-time thing. She had a lifestyle of this. See, I'm here to admit I had a lifestyle of sinning. Yeah, I used to dress to sin. I used to listen to music to sin. I used to get high to go sin. I used to get drunk to go sin. I used to go out to do what? Sin. I had a lifestyle of it. See, whatever I was in, I was going to do it to 100%. I'm going to do it all the way. So when I was caught in the act of doing things all the way, Jesus, in the message of repentance, stepped into my life like never before. Like never before. I was just sitting on my bed and heard a powerful message of repentance.
And I was never the same. And this lady who got caught in the act of adultery, she will never be the same after this encounter. All right, check it out, though. So he says, in verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Basically, he didn't say a word. Hey, let me say this to somebody real quick. Hey, watch what you're saying to people. Yeah. Watch what you texting people. Hey, watch who you FaceTiming. Because I don't want that to come back and trap you. You feel me? Hey, watch who you sending money to. Watch who you cash apping. You feel me? Watch who you doing certain things. That's all I'm trying to tell you. This is a prophecy, a warning. I don't know who this for. But you want to watch those things because it can be a trap. It can be a trap. See, you're a leader. You're a leader. So you got to watch out for all these little nicks and little ducks in the rows. You see what I'm saying? You got to make sure all your I's and T's are taken care of. Make sure all them I's dotted, all them T's are crossed. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know who's trying to trap you. Get you caught up. Get you caught up. Why? Because they jealous of the anointing that's on your life. They jealous of the anointing that's on your life. They jealous of the vision God has put in your life. It has nothing to do with you. See, there's that perfume of envy on a lot of people. There's that perfume of jealousy that's on a lot of people. So in order to get them, to get you back on the level that they're at, they may want to trap you. A lot of times your confrontation with family members, a lot of time your confrontation with friends or people at your church or wherever you having these confrontations with people, these battleships with people, it's not that they're really trying to kill you or destroy you. They're just trying to bring you back down to they level. See, you're going to a level where they can't talk to you anymore. You're going to a level where you're not accessible anymore. You used to answer that text message late at night, but now it's on DND. DND. Do not disturb. And see that when you start making these changes in your life, my brother, when you start making these changes in your life, my sister, there's going to be people who are going to start to envy you, who are going to start to hate you, who are going to start to want to bring you back down to their level. So they may want to set some traps for you. Set some traps for you. Hey, I got these tickets to this concert this weekend. You want to go? Trap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a trap. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know. That's a trap. Get you back into that fleshly environment. Hey, girl, where you been at? Let's go out and have a drink or something. Trap. Trap. Hey, big head. Trap. Long time no see. Where you been? Trap. Keep walking. Keep moving. There's a reason God put them out of your life. Quit letting them back in. Close the door and lock it. Matter of fact, lock the top lock too. Let me keep moving through this word. Give me a thumbs up if y'all can hear me good. I just want to make sure y'all hear me good because this word is so potent. Y'all hear me? Okay, thank you. Let me keep moving. Where we at? So in verse 7, they kept demanding an answer. Have you ever met people like that? Demanding an answer, demanding that you tell them what, I'm grown. What you don't demand nothing from me. My mama dead. Demanding you tell them where you been, demanding telling them why you acting like this, demanding why we doing this. Excuse me? People, there's going to be some people as you begin to walk in your newness, when you begin to walk in the kingdom, when you begin the manifestation of the kingdom of God over your life, over your atmosphere, there's going to be people who demand what's going on with you. They go, why are you acting funny? Don't say a word. Let them think what they think. Let them process how they process. Let them see, some of us, you cap to save a, oh, come on, God. Some of us, we cap to save our feelings. What do you mean? You want to save people's feelings from your new change. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, talk to us, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of y'all want to save people's feelings from the thing that God is doing in your life. So you want to explain to everybody. You trying to tag along people who just, dead weight. You trying to tag along people who may be a demon. Did you ever consider that God is trying to change you to get you away from some things? Huh, Lot? Did you ever think that? The word is coming to save you, and if people don't want to come, they may turn into a pillar of salt, meaning they just hard-headed. Get yourself out, Lot. Get yourself out, Lot. Because it may be some fire that's finna take over that little atmosphere that you in. Get yourself up out of there. That's a word from somebody. Hey, that's a word from somebody. And it may not be nobody in here. Like I said, the underground goes out all over the world. So I may be talking to somebody who in India, Japan, I don't know, Zimbabwe, anywhere, California. I may be talking to somebody right now who she was trying to figure out, do she need to get her own apartment? Get yourself out. Somebody trying to figure out, should they resign the lease? You better do like Yvonne say, separate. You finna resign a whole year of nothing but demonic energy. Let me keep moving and grooving through this word. You heard the word, whoever that's for. Don't you resign that lease. You resign that lease and your heart just gonna be hardened and hardened. You ain't gonna be able to hear the voice of God no more. And my brothers, let me tell you something. I don't care how fine she is. I don't care how. I'm telling you right now, don't you do it. Don't you move in unless you want to. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. That little anointing that you have, that you think you have. That's going to be gone in a couple of months. You go ahead and take that rock. You can't pervert that anointing. Nah. I love when the word of God hit us in our cheek. I love it when the word of God just hit us in our chest one time. See, some of us brothers, we grew up without a daddy. And we just needed our daddy every once in a while, just come hit us in our chest and then tell us, shut up. All that crying, boy. Yeah, you know, we just need that, especially with the generation of men and boys that we got today. Let me put a comma right there and talk to the streets and talk to us, man. Quit letting this generation make us too cute. Quit letting this generation make us into, we just want to be models and, you know what I'm saying, pose all the time. There got to be some mystique about you, my brother. every once in a while, let them know. Just disappear from the gram. Don't let them know what you're doing. You're posting too much. I don't care what you eat. That's for her to do all that. I'm talking to the man now. I'm just talking about what a man do. Man, I was telling my wife, man, listen here. Hey, we got to start looking at the character of who God was in the Old Testament. God did some things that people was against, and people are still against to this day. Well, why would God do that? And if he was a God, why would he do that? And you know what God did? He stand on it. He ain't come back in the New Testament talking about, hey, y'all, I just want to apologize for what I did in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sorry. I want to get on Instagram and apologize to everybody. I'm sorry. And I'm going to do, man, please. As a man, listen here. You're going to make some decisions in the future. You're going to have to stand on it, my brother. And you don't need validation from everybody. You don't need everybody in the comment section talking about, that's right, go, yeah, I like that decision. Man, please, if God told me, that's what I'm doing. The whole world can be against me, but if God be for me, who can stand against me? I'm talking about, what are you talking about right now? Just being a man. Just being a man. Hey, quit voicing your opinions all the time. If you go voice anything, let it be the word of God. Quit voicing your feelings all the time, my brother. She don't care. Look, I know, man, my wife love me unconditionally. I know she do. But she don't be want to hear about my feelings all the time. She don't want to hear about what my dad, when I was young, my daddy didn't push me on a swing and mama wasn't there to give me a hug. She don't care. She married me because she want a leader. That's just what is that? That's the cost of being a man. Hey, a man, we not like that. Our kids don't be liking us like that. You know that they like mama. Daddy comes and brings what? Law and order. So they not go like us like that. We not go be, you know, feely and lovey like that. That's nah. We come to bring order, direction, vision, purpose. Follow me. Yeah, follow me. We rough. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, our feet ugly. That's what man. Listen. Hey, it's all right to just be a man every once in a while, man. And quit apologizing for being rough and being, you know. Maybe want us to apologize for being masculine. What's all that about? I can't, I'm rough. I need to go hunt. I need to be up out of here. I need to go do some things. Righteous things, by the way. Holy things. What he mean by that? Let me go ahead and say that. But you feel me? So all I'm trying to say, my brothers, it's okay to be just being a man. Just be a man. And the scriptures will tell you on how to be a man. If you ever get some times, Google verses about man, and they'll tell you what God expects from us. Your presence alone, my brothers. I don't know why the Holy Spirit taking me there, but we gonna go there. And this will help you some the women out too. So let's just go there. Just to help the women out too, because some of y'all are getting best friends. That's what y'all getting. Y'all not getting a man. You just getting somebody who can be your best friend. You getting somebody with who's my girlfriend. That's what you really getting. Down to the very my girl. That's what you really getting. But what you really need is a man. Who's going to tell you, wait a minute. You in your feelings, baby. Did you remember what God said? Did you remember what the word of God said? I know, but I'm just saying, I just feel, wait. I understand what you feel. But what did God say? I understand what Google say. I understand what the economy say. I understand what the market say. But what did God say? I understand what your body saying. I understand what the doctor saying. But what did God say? That's what the man got to do. You understand? And when he does that, it may draw some tension. People may think, well, they don't care about my feelings. It's not that I don't care about your feelings. I just care about the word of God more. And so you got to say that and not apologize. Me and a good brother was discussing this today. It's not I'm coming against you. I'm coming against that antichrist spirit. I'm coming against that spirit that wants to debunk the word all the time. I'm coming against a spirit that wants to side with the generation that we live in, with the culture that we was brought up into. I'm just want to stand on the word. That's what that man's supposed to bring to your life. I'm here to talk to all my sisters right now. Why you always got to be the one to initiate when it comes to spiritual things? Why? It's time for you to decide, hey, if I got to do that, I'm going to just be alone then. I'll let just be God. Can you be my husband? Man, go back and from Genesis and read all the way to the New Testament. Just see how the man lived. We have watered down what it means to be a man of God so much. So much. You have allowed all type of idols in your home, my brother, because you don't want no confrontation. You have allowed all type of spirits in your home, my brother. Do you understand God has called you to be the priest? It was never meant. That is why our women are so stressed out right now. Because they have carried the weight of being a priest in a home. Them shoulders of theirs was never meant to be the priest. They was meant for our shoulders. We was meant to carry that weight. She was meant to speak life into that mission. Let's bring order back. Let's just bring it back. That's all I'm saying. Let's get in our right position and not be intimidated by it. Not be afraid to be in our right positions. My brother, do you understand when you step in the role of being a man, you allow the woman to be a woman? You allow her to be a woman. I'm here to tell you, I know for a fact in our culture alone that our women, because of certain things that's happened in our culture, they have not understood what it is just to be a woman of God. They can't be it. Because the man is missing. Because the man is missing. And when the man comes around, all he want to do is get into her pants. Or shoot some little fly game to her. See, when a man is walking in the authority, the manifestation of God, let me tell you something. He don't need anything from anybody, any woman, any man, anything. He don't need it from nobody because his source is wrapped up in God. I do things for you not because I want anything. It's because the God in me. He's given me so much, so I'm just trying to give out. My cup is full from spending time with God, so I'm giving things freely. How much is this? No charge. No charge. I don't need anything. Read about your ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read about them every once in a while. They had a nation that they had to take care of. We having issues taking care of our homes. You see how it's been watered down. It's been watered down. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to just flow with me, y'all. Just flow for me for a little bit, because I just want to bring order back to our homes, man. Because once we get this order back in our homes, man, you know, because that's the most important ministry over anything. Yeah, it was the home. It was that marriage. It was that, yeah, Adam and Eve was the first mega church. Oh my God, talk to us, God. Yeah, it was the first mega church. Adam and Eve. Yeah, before there was a bishop and a pastor and this church and this church and this choir and we doing this. Before all that, it was this man and it was this woman. And God put his spirit in them and told them, hey, y'all have dominion. Y'all have rule. Yeah, stay in y'all position and go ahead and, you know, bring a representation of who I am to this world as a union. And make sure you watch out for them serpents. Yeah, make sure you watch out for them serpents. You see what I'm saying? Bringing the man back. I keep saying bringing the man back because I'm trying to tell you, listen to me, woman of God. Once the man come back, you're able to get back into your rightful role and you're going to love it. I promise you, you're going to be like, oh, I'm glad I don't got to worry about that. Good. I ain't want to pay the bills anyways. Yeah, handle that. I don't care. You see what I'm saying? The stress, the heart, there's certain burdens that you'll carry that a man, when he, his rightful position, his presence, there's certain things that you are caught up in, my sister. Listen to me. There are certain things that you're holding on to, my sister. When a man comes in your life, you just be like, oh, child, I forgot about that. I wasn't even worried about that no more. Why? Because the man has stepped up. And what it does, he blocks you from certain things. Oh, he blocks you from certain family members. He blocks you from going to certain places. He blocks you from going to certain friends. Not that he's controlling you. It's because he's just a man. See, listen to me, my brothers. When you become a man, there are certain things that your wife or your future wife, she won't even ask. Baby, can I go with? Well, let me not even ask him that because I already know he. I already know he see right through her. So let me not even. I ain't even gonna say I'm going. You ain't gonna have to tell her to cut off friends because the authority that you carry, the righteousness that you carry, the holiness that you carry, she gonna just go cut them friends off by herself. Let me get rid of her because, yeah, she can't come in my house. My husband gonna see right through her little fast. So, yep. The Holy Spirit, peace. And you know why she'll do that? Because she don't want to lose a man. See, she'll lose a little boy. She don't mind cutting off boys. But when she really sees a man, she begins to make sacrifices. Talk to us, God. She begins to make sacrifices that a woman begins to make. She begins to make sacrifices and becomes a helpmeet to your purpose. See, you want her to lay down her dreams and purpose, and you still playing with childish things. I'm going right back to where we started. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You want her to lay down her life. You want her to stop going out. You want her to stop wearing certain clothes. You want her to stop watching certain shows, but all she sees is childish things in your life. Grow up and become a man, and I promise you she'll put them things down. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will begin to work in her life. Because the presence that you carry, it can't help but to affect her. You don't have to say anything. The word of God talks about washing her with the word of God. Let me go there. Let me go there because, yeah. Let me go there. Oh, look how the Holy Spirit just came and took, hijacked the, you know, sometimes people, you be flying a certain way. And when the terrorists come and want to just take over, they'll hijack something. That's what the Holy Spirit had done today. He said, let me go ahead and hijack some stuff real quick. Okay, let me see. I got it. I'm going somewhere real quick. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse, let's go to 20. I'm going to start off at 25. It says, for husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. You got to be a man to even read that. You can't be a little boy reading this type of stuff. Look at the commandments of God. He got he talking to man right now. He ain't talking to no little boys, no little models. He not talking to a basketball player. He not talking to a football player. He not talking to a president. He not talking to a millionaire. You know who he talking to right here? A man. He not talking. I'm a YouTuber. That's cool, my brother. Boy, are you a man? Man, I got money. That's cool, my brother. Boy, are you a man? As Christ loved the church, we got to have the type of love. Who gonna teach us how to love like that? We a sinful man. How we gonna love like that? See, that's why we gotta come to God, my brothers. I can't love my wife like that. I must be in the presence of God every morning. I must be in the word of God every morning. If I'm trying to love my wife like that, like the church. Oh my God. It says he gave up his life for her. He gave up his childish things for her. Hey, let me tell you something, my brother, especially my young brothers. Let me tell you, when you know she the one, you start giving up childish things for. It become easy for. You start deleting contacts for. You start deleting them booty calls for. You start blocking certain things for. Guess what? You don't even check DMs no more. Why? Because she made you put away childish things. That's a woman. See, a woman don't come around and encourage childish things. She motivates you and speak life up out of childish things. Come on, man. This word coming now, Doc. Come on. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. That's what I wanted to get to. If you want to see your wife walking in the embodiment of this gospel, you go have to lay down your life, man. How are you expecting her to be holy and you haven't laid your life down yet? That's what it's going to cause. See, there's a woman that you have in your mind. There's this embodiment that you feel like, who's, man, I want a wife like this. Well, lay down your life and you'll get it. I promise you. And sister, you probably got this version of a husband in your mind. Submit and you'll get it. I promise you. See, y'all reading too many relationship books. Some of y'all been listening to these relationship coaches and you don't even know if they believe in Jesus Christ. Some of these people not even spiritual, not even on the same spiritual wavelength that you on, and you taking instructions from them. But I'm here to tell you the instructions of God is, man, lay down your life, wife, a woman, submit to him. And you will begin to see the manifestation of this, oh my God, this the husband? Yeah, that's him. That's your wife too. Hey, check this out. Check this out. Check this out. He gave up his life to her to make her holy and clean. Ah. Can I submit something to you, my brothers? This may sting a little bit, but I need you to take this on the chin one time. Bye. I'm finna hit you real quick. It's gonna be a quick jab, but come back. It's finna be a quick jab. Can I submit something to you? Is the reason your wife out there like that? Is the reason your wife is messy like that? Is the reason that your wife may be promiscuous like that? Is it because you not presenting yourself as holy and clean? See, because the word of God tells me in verse 26, wash her by cleansing of the word of God. I'm not saying you got to keep preaching the word to her. Your life can preach to her. I told God, I promise, I give y'all this special prayer. I told God, I say, God, I don't want to send scripture. I want her to just read my life. I don't want to say, baby, turn to Genesis real quick. I just want her to say, look at me. He the walking embodiment of Jesus, Genesis. He the walking embodiment of Exodus. He the walking embodiment of Matthew. That's what you need to become, my brother. And guess what? When that happens, man, check this out. It gotta submit. Why? Because it's the word of God. They used to have this song back in the day. Lay it down, lay it down. Yeah, everything gonna have to lay it down when that word of God come through. Hey, take it out in verse 27. I'm moving and grooving through this word. Hey, give me a couple of more minutes and I'm gonna let y'all go. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. See, your life. Oh my God. Just your life, my brother. You present her to the world. What you doing in your life is your wife is going to represent that to the world. She's going to be a representation of what's going on in y'all home, your wife. See, the church is a representation of what's going on with Jesus. And you see where the church is at today? So the churches represent the relationship that we have with Jesus. That's the type of, that's why we need to step back in our roles, my brothers. That's why we got to step back into our roles, man. And we affect everything, man. The type of movement we can start just being a man, dog. I'm seeing it with my own eyes, bro. Just standing on business, standing on, hey, these are the principles of God. And check this out. I'm not here to discuss, I'm not here to debate it. I'm here to establish it. That's wherever country I go to, that's wherever church I go to. That's whatever neighborhood I step in, whatever prison I go to. I'm not here to have a conversation. I'm here to establish, set up shop. Period. You want to roll with us or what? You remember what happened when it came what was the prostitute name? Rahab? That was her, right? And they came in, they let them, hey, we finna take over this. Yeah, we finna take over all this. Get your family. If you want to save them, get them. But make sure you be in his house because when we come through, we coming through. And ain't nothing staying. But see, we can't live. I don't know. In this culture now, when we talk like that or say, that's too, he got to be more compassionate. He need to be more loving. I love. I love your soul, and I don't want to see you die and go to hell. That's the type of love I have for you. That's the type of love I got. And I'm willing to die for that. You know what I'm saying? And my brothers, you're going to have to be willing to die for that. Period. Either you're going to be in or you're going to be out. Ain't no in between. I always tell my youth when I preach to them, hey, I want to encourage you to whatever lifestyle that you want to be. I'm not here to make you believe in what I believe in. Nope, I'm not. I can't do that. The Holy Spirit only can do that. But whatever lifestyle you in, though, or whatever lifestyle you trying to take, hey, I want to encourage, hey, do it 100% because you'll get the full benefits from it. But all this half thing, you're not going to get the full benefits, man. You're not going to get the full benefits. So if you are, God is calling you to be a disciple of Christ, hey, step both foot in, man. Yeah, I'm encouraging you tonight, my brothers and sisters. Hey, put 2 feet in the game. And man, you give it your all. Especially y'all who, you in your 30s and your 40s, let this last stretch of your life be the best stretch that you ever can give God, man. And you don't let up on anybody. You don't take your foot off the gas for anybody. You ride in until the wheels fall off. You feel me? Man, anyways, I appreciate y'all coming out to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. Hey, who am I? Man, I wasn't nobody special, man. I was just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. Don't look now, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the underground. Yo, I'm out, man. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I keep y'all in y'all my prayers as y'all keep me in y'all's. I love y'all, man. I'm out. The underground.